Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 1. The Apostle Paul was an amazing man. Greatest church planter in world history, bar none. Most prolific, most willful, most skillful. He was talented. He was educated. He had it all. But it wasn't always that way. He was the greatest persecutor of the church when he started. When he had his boots on for the world, he was making havoc of the church. But then God got a hold of him. By faith he was saved, transformed, made a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, all things became new. And it was graphically illustrated by a man that was walking down a road to Damascus. And all of a sudden, the power of the glory of God came blowing him away, knocking him off of his feet. And says, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Wow. And Saul was gloriously saved. He became Paul the Apostle. And we're here in Romans chapter 1. And I want to tell you something about Paul here, because he's such a great man of God. And he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to put pen to paper and to write the Holy Scriptures, okay? This is God's book, but he used human penmen, right? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We want to have that same impression today, that when we open this book, this is no ordinary book that we have here. Amen. We are holding Amen. The very word of God, as if God parted the clouds and plunked it right down in our laps.
Yes. Amen.
And it's just that fresh, just that vital. Believe me, this book is not boring.
Amen. Yes.
I might be boring, but this book is not boring. It's got something for you today.
Amen.
It's got something for me today and for every day until the Lord chooses to take us home.
Amen.
Now, you may be one that's a skeptic today, and I want to say you're welcome. We like to have any people that are willing to come and to listen. But I want you to listen not only with your ears, but with your heart today. I want you to listen what God may have a message just for you, that he's going to cherry pick certain things out of this message that he has just for you. So you listen for those. You look for those. And you be willing to take them into your heart and give them a fair shot. Because I think God wants to say some things today that are important to us. Now Paul, he was about ready to embark on a great self-revelation. His personal testimony was about ready to be given. In chapter 7, he talked about his failure. We're talking about his great successes, but I'm going to tell you, Paul was pulling out his hair by the bushels, spiritually, saying, the very thing I try to do, I can't do it. You ever been there?
Yeah.
Boy, have I ever been there. The very things I try to avoid, guess what? I do them. And in fact, at the end of chapter 7, he says, wretched man that I am, who will be able to deliver me from the body of this death? And by the way, the Apostle Paul's ready to paint a picture, and he takes this palette out, and he starts slopping black paint all over it. There early on, he talks about what man is without Christ. It's a bad picture. It's darkness. It's bad. It's black. There's nothing good about it. Outside of God, no matter how nice, warm, fuzzy feelings you might have about certain things in our culture, outside of God, there's nothing.
Amen.
There's absolutely nothing. Not only now, but for all eternity, there's especially nothing. Because God has created a place of punishment for those that will not call upon his name. And if we reject him actively today, that's all we got to look forward to. Blackness, darkness, punishment, where the worm dieth not. There is a place called hell. But there is a hell to shun today.
Thank you, Jesus.
Huh?
Yes.
There is a forgiveness to receive today.
Yes, sir.
And there is a pardon that we can leave here. I mean, our shoes don't have to touch the carpet as we leave. They don't have to. We can just go out of here. We're so lightened by the load of our sin removed from us. But early on in Romans, it says we're all painted with the same brush. In Ephesians, it says you were dead in trespasses and sins. That's where we all were, see. But Paul is excited. Before he gets even to start talking about all that stuff and all the sanctification, glorification, adoption, redemption, all these great juicy theological terms, you know, that we all, you know, dance about. All of us pastors dance about. You people are a lot more respectable than us pastors are. You don't do things like that. But Before he gets to talking about that, he introduces himself. Of course, in verse 1, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Verse 8 is where we're going to be going, but right here in verse 1, he says, Paul, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. It's not Paul, superstar, with a great big S tattooed on his chest saying, oh, look at me, man. I'm great. I'm wonderful. No, not about that at all. He says he's called to be an apostle. He's set apart. Set apart means sanctified. He was distinctively removed from all those unholy purposes, and he was set apart for good purposes, for the purpose of proclaiming the gospel message, the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through the prophets in the holy scriptures. That talks again about this book coming from God, not from man. 66 books in God's divine canon of scripture called the Library of God comes into your lap from God's handiwork, from God's penmanship, from God's specific desire to reveal to you things that you need to know. Amen. In order to be successful in your life. So he says right here, it's about the holy scriptures concerning his son. It's not about Paul. It's not about you or me or your cat or dog or your brother-in-law. It's all about the Lord and about his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh. He was the Messiah. He was the perfect anointed one, okay? In fulfillment of all Old Testament messianic passages of Scripture. He was the only one that could be that and declared, as it says in verse 4, to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Let's never get over that. That is the foundation of our faith. The literal, physical, bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ cannot be removed. Yes. And we have any hope of eternal life.
Amen.
Jesus was alive. He died. He rose again, literally, physically, bodily, from death to life again for our redemption, for our salvation.
Yes. Amen.
Now, praise God for that. Because, again, that blood is what has to sing for us. We don't have anybody or anything to speak for us, anything at all, good. In and of ourselves. It has to be the merits of Christ.
Yes.
The imputed righteousness that's credited to your account and to mine. Jesus is worthy. His worthiness is credited to our account as if we are Jesus in the eyes of God.
Wow.
He sees Jesus when he looks at you and me. He says, you're worthy. The coin of redemption was the perfect payment price, and it was paid already in full. Stamped, paid. You couldn't do anything to earn it if you tried. A lot of people out there trying. But listen, I want to tell you something. Good works are a part of it, but after you've been saved, it flows out of a heart that's been redeemed. You desire to serve. You desire to give of your life to Christ. But by that power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring the obedience of what? Of faith. It's all about what this church is called, faith. For the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Let us never forget the salvation is of the Lord. Nobody just got it in their own mind on their own that I'm going to be a Christian. It's prompted by God's Spirit.
Amen.
And he's wanting to do that to you today. I believe it. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to redemption. And that all word is an important one, you know. We're located in Columbia, South Carolina right now, where our daughter's a nurse and Linda's receiving care from our dear daughter. And down in the South, they have certain things about that word all. Sometimes they're referring to that 10W30 you're putting in your car when they talk about all, you know. Huh? Now, that isn't what we're talking about here. All means all, and that's all means, right?
Yes.
And here means you and me are part of that all. Among all the nations, including those of you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. That's what God wants to call you to be. And to do. To all those in Rome, verse 7 says, who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace. Now, there he's talking to the Greeks as well as to the Jews, right? He's getting out there. He's actually revealing his philosophy of ministry. It's about people getting in touch with God. And so he's greeting the Greeks, the non-Jewish people, as well as the Jewish people. Grace is the Greek greeting. Peace or shalom is the Jewish greeting from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, then I said, now Paul's getting excited here. Let's go to that next screen. Paul's getting all juiced up and excited. And I want you to notice what it says there in verse number 8. First, before I get to talking about all this other stuff, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for, here's that southerner again, for you all. That's two words up here, but it's one word in the south, right? You all is, what is it?
Y'all.
That's right. Okay, now there's Paul saying, I thank God through Jesus Christ for y'all. Why? We're getting to the sermon title here, folks. Because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. Now, they didn't have Wi-Fi. They didn't have Twitter accounts. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have email. They didn't have laptops and all that kind of stuff. But they had an effective strategy. And you see, for some reason, Paul was all juiced up and excited before he got to talking about all this other stuff, about all the juicy doctrine and about giving his own personal testimony. He says, first and foremost, I can't hardly wait to tell you. I'm almost dancing the dance of joy up here, like I can't hardly stand waiting to tell you. I want to just blow up all over you about this thing. And I want to tell you that I'm pleased about the worldwide fame of true faith. I'm not excited about anything more than that. And before all the technology and all that, I mean, we had technology problems this morning, didn't we, guys? I'm convinced that if the New Testament had been written on a laptop, we'd have two or three missing books. I'm telling you. It's crazy. And we were doing somersaults almost back there trying, what in the world are we going to do? You know, this thing isn't meeting with this thing and this thing and this thing. And I want to just say thank you for the technical crew that God has brought together in this church. I want to tell you, they pulled it off, and God equipped them and enabled them and blessed them. And I hope God will just greatly bless them for that ministry. It's oftentimes a little encouraged ministry. I'll tell you, you take a lot of work and you get little reward. But I hope great is your reward in heaven because you made it happen. Now, I'm going to tell you, Paul said, before we had all the technology and before all of that, in fact, I'm almost convinced that Philippians 4:13 wouldn't be in the Bible if we were still in the technical era back then. I can do all things except for laptops and technology through Christ who strengthens me. Right? Anyway. Oh, and by the way, stop at the table and get the picture of my wife is worth the entry charge. Yeah. Be sure to stop. And if you want to sign up for our email updates and stuff like that, you can do that there too. Okay. Enough of the commercials. Now, Paul says, I'm juiced. I'm excited. I'm thrilled. I am pleased about the worldwide fame of the gospel. So that's the name of our title, Joyfully Proclaiming Faith to All Nations. Well, how did they do it if they didn't have TV and radio? If they didn't have email? How in the world did they do it? They had a burden, and they went to their neighbors, and they told them from their hearts about the unsearchable riches of Christ, about the transforming power of the gospel. And they lived it out in front of them. And it became compelling and convincing. And the Holy Spirit used them so that the gospel of Jesus Christ received worldwide fame. They were effective in one by one, by one, by one, sharing their faith. Dear friends, we have all the equipment we need to get the job done.
Amen.
We really do. We have one heart. We have one tongue. We can open that heart and that tongue to tell others about Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We really can.
Yes.
And your neighbors, believe it or not, they're hungry and thirsty for it. They're trying all the other ways of trying to get peace. I'm telling you, dear friends, there are some people that I know that could spend $10,000 on a new bed, but they couldn't buy themselves a good night's sleep. Why? Because their lives are a mess. They're chasing after that elusive peace and joy and contentment and fulfillment, and they can't find it. They're looking in all the wrong places. Well, God's got the answer. I don't want to sound oversimplified here, but I'm telling you, God is the answer.
Amen.
He really is.
Yes.
After all of the other strategies and all the other things that advertisers tell you, all you got to do is buy this thing, man, and you've got it made. Oh, what a joke. What a joke. They're making merchandise of people that live from one toy to the next. There's nothing wrong with toys, by the way. It's great to have them. But don't buy into that stupid philosophy that the one who dies with the most toys wins. That's ridiculous. The one who dies with the Holy Spirit of God on their heart and in their life, they're the ones that are the real winners.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
Okay, so let's unpack this for a couple minutes together and see what this is all about. Paul is thankful. He's proclaiming this truth about how pleased he is that the faith is being proclaimed effectively everywhere he goes. He's hearing about it, the faith of Jesus Christ to all the nations. And dear friends, we need to have that same desire in our own hearts to share faith with everybody we meet.
Yes.
With our neighbors and friends and family members, that we find strategies of coming alongside of real people and gaining an interest and gaining a trust with them so that they know we're the real thing. We are genuine. We're not in it to try to make merchandise of them and to ring up another soul on the old gospel belt. Ha! We snagged another one, you know, kind of like a sales company. That's nothing like that, dear friends. It's about one beggar telling another beggar where to find a bread.
Yes.
It's about where the grace of God abounds and where we had our burdens lifted at Calvary, where we were once shackled by the pain and the desperation of our sinful condition, and God set us free from the law of sin and death.
Yes.
Because there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That word "in" is a two-letter word, a preposition that makes all the difference between life and death. You are either in or you're not in. And if you're in, praise God, you're in because of the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay? So what are we going to talk about this morning? Well, this is what we're going to talk about. I find, really quickly, six reasons why Paul's juiced up. Why he's so excited that this faith is joyfully being proclaimed to all the nations. I want you to tick right down through these. You can take notes if you want to. Write them down in your bulletin. Look them over later on. Or you can just sit there and listen as I share with you what these six reasons are why Paul's juiced up and excited. You see, I think that he had good reasons for why he said, first of all, I can hardly stand it. I'm so excited. I want to thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. Why? Okay, let's go to number one. It is an exclusive focus. Paul is grateful for the well-proclaimed faith of the church because Christ is the only one that they have faith in. Christ is the only one. The only one. Now, these fonts got changed somehow or other, messed up. So if they look a little goofy, just ignore those and listen. It's exclusive. When you look in John chapter 14 and verse 6, that is the truth. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. We live in a pluralistic society. And I'm telling you, if you're getting your information about religion and about faith in Christ from the news media, you're never going to hear this.
No, you're not.
You're not.
That's right.
Because they think there's all these different pathways to getting to heaven. Oh, well, there's this God over here and this God over here and that God and this cult and this ism and this system of religion and all this kind of stuff. Listen, I'm tired of religion. I'm tired of systems of faith. I'm interested in the relationship of the eternal Son of God.
Amen.
And I'm tired of all these merchandise merchants that are out there peddling their goods, riding on the back of the crucified Christ. They're a bunch of charlatans. And some of them are even well-meaning. They don't know how distorted and how warped and twisted and perverted they are. They have no clue. Some of them are sincere. Some of them come across as being very, very honorable in their demeanor. And they try to get good things done, but they are deluded.
Yes.
You see, this is only about Christ. The Bible says there is no other way under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
That you can't get there any other way but Christ. When Paul says he's thankful for the faith of the Romans, he means faith in Jesus Christ. Not some vague faith in any God like Allah, or some Hindu deity, or some Buddhist principle, or some New Age spirit medium, or even some vague notion of a true God that denies the deity of Jesus Christ, like the Colsonisms of today. It's all about Jesus.
Amen.
The only way you're going to get to heaven. You see, missionaries that are part of the One World movement today, the ecumenical movement, they feel that everybody's a child of God, and all we got to do is just go out and inform them about it. Tell them they got to start getting their behavior in line with being a believer. That isn't what the gospel is. The gospel is confrontational. It says you can't be the same person you were when you are introduced to Jesus Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, all things become new. There's that word all again. All means all, and that's all means. And there's no other way to get there except through Christ.
Amen.
Oh, this fatherhood of God, brotherhood of man thing is all nice and warm and fuzzy. And it's all part of this human fairness doctrine of, well, it seems to be right, and if I'm 51% good, then God's got to take favor on me when I knock on the gates of glory. Listen, dear friends, there's going to be a lot of rascals in heaven. But they're rascals that were transformed by the blood of Christ.
Yes.
I'm one of them. I hope you are. See? You see, what we're talking about here is exclusive. Now, that's hate speech in England, and that's hate speech in a lot of places in the world. I could be arrested for saying that Jesus is the only way to heaven.
Yes.
If I stood on a street corner in England and said that, I could be arrested for hate speech, for inciting terror. You think I'm kidding?
No.
Google it. We're living in a world where it's just absolutely crazy like that. And that's postmodern, post-Christian Europe in a nutshell. They're absolutely perverted. They're absolutely out of their brain. But what we've got here, dear friends, is guaranteed to be true, guaranteed to get you to glory. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone, you shall have eternal life. And you shall never perish, and no man shall pluck you out of my hand. Yeah!
Yeah.
Wow! Woohoo!
Praise the Lord.
The deacon's going to come and haul me away. Where's that trap door? There he goes, out to his car. Oh, boy. Now, the second point. It's all about praise. It's
an exalting
focus. Don't let the pagans paint us into a corner about us being a bunch of naysayers, and it's all about what we are against. We're against it. We don't like sin. We'll read down the list of all the stuff that we don't do. We're full of judgment for other people. We haven't got any love in us. We're just looking for somebody to do something wrong. And you know, there's some Christians that think they're kind of like God's appointed judgment committee or something, you know. There's something wrong with everything, and by God's grace, I'm going to find out what it is. God help us from that. You know, we don't need that kind of rubbish. I mean, what were we when God saved us? We were a pile of rubbish. All of us are damaged goods, aren't we? Anybody here this morning say, yeah, well, I'm the exception to the rule. I never sinned. I don't smoke, I don't chew, I don't go with girls that do. Right? Don't give me that line of baloney. I know. I mean, I haven't been reading your mail, but, you know, the Bible tells that we're all sinners. Every one of us, every one of us. None of us escape that judgment. Oh, friends. But let's not be people that are just angry and hateful. I mean, they'll know we're Christians by our love.
Yes.
That we're willing to embrace the brokenhearted, roll up our sleeves among the dirty and down, or the up and out too, which is an increasing problem in our world. The up and out, they're too good for being labeled a sinner. Nope. You see, it's all about this thing of exalting. We're in the praise business. Look at verse 4. He was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord. Woo-hoo! Exalt him, praise him, glorify him. It'll be all about him, dear friends. The names of Christ here stands for the fame of his truth and the wisdom and the power and the beauty and the dependability of him. And we need to praise him and worship him and exalt him. And come to Sunday morning, we get here and we experience God's presence.
Yes, we do.
Why is it that we shouldn't expect that? We get here and the Word of God is prayer bathed.
Yes.
And we're just vessels and we get to touch and to reach out to one another and to care about them. And it's the love of Christ that's pouring out of us. That's why I want us to leave here soaking wet with the glory of God. We want to be drenched with it. We don't want any normal, natural stuff to happen. That's what's boring. Supernatural transformation. Man, that's where the action is. That's where I want to be. That's where you want to be. It's all about exalting him. It's all about praising him. Number 3, it's an enduring focus. Long and short of it is, our Christian faith is well-founded. It's solid. It's lasting. It's substantial. And dear friends, it's not here today and gone tomorrow.
Amen.
Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. It lasts. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Why is love the greatest? It lasts.
Amen.
You're not going to have faith in heaven, and you're not going to have hope in heaven. Did you know that? Faith will give way to sight. You'll be seeing him as he is. You won't have faith in heaven.
That's right.
Faith is for here. You won't have hope in heaven either. How many of you guys, now come on, be honest. I know you. When you want that certain fishing rod or that certain shotgun or that certain toy, you got very effective ways of leaving clues out there, right? And when comes your birthday or Christmas or whatever, you get that thing that you've been baiting them to death to get, hounding them to death to get. Well, after you've gotten it, you open the package. Do you hope for it anymore? Of course not, because you got it already. Everything that we could have hoped for, we have received when we're in the presence of Jesus Christ. Amen. There's no hope in heaven either.
That's right.
Because we got it all. No faith, no hope. But boy, we're just going to school on love. Boy, we're just going to school about love. And we're just learning a little bit right now to serve us well when we're in his presence. We'll know fully about the love. Oh, boy. You see, it lasts. It endures to all generations. It's an enduring focus. Now, I've got 3 more words. I'm going to touch down through these quickly as we begin looking toward the end game here. Number 4, it's an enabling focus. Paul is thankful that his faith in Christ encouraged other people to accept that Christ is trustworthy and valuable and caring for our total need. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There's some times when it's tough to go to church. I heard about this one guy. It was one of those cold mornings in the winter, you know, that occasionally Northeast Ohio is known for those kind of things. Looking out the window, you'd never suspect that, would you? But say, I lived here for a lot of years. I know about it. This guy was nice and toasty warm, and he had his nice big old coffee hound over here, kindred spirit. I love that. It's what runs in the river of life in heaven, you know, caffeine. Boom. Gives you the kick you need. Snap my eyelids wide open. There's nothing more embarrassing than having a preacher fall asleep in the middle of his own sermon. That's bad. So I always drink plenty of coffee. This guy was nice and cozy in his bed, and he was reading the morning paper, probably just enjoying himself thoroughly on a Sunday morning. And his wife says, "Hey, you got to get up, get ready to go to church." He says, I think I'll get a siesta today. I'm real cozy and comfy here." And she says, "Listen to me, Bubba. You're the preacher. You got to go there and preach the morning sermon." Now, some of you say, "Oh, well, I'm far too sanctified and far too good a Christian to ever admit that there's some Sundays that it's a tough thing to go to church." Maybe you got your attitude out of whack, or maybe you're just not feeling well or whatever. But have you had the experience where you ended up going anyway and it was such a major blessing that you couldn't hardly stand it? You know, you're just so thrilled with it. And you touch somebody else's life. You know, it doesn't really take a whole lot of effort to go and say something nice to somebody. And you might make their whole week by doing that. See, we come alongside hurting people, and sometimes it isn't about whether you're feeling about like going to church or not. Maybe God's got somebody that he's got designed for you to say something nice to. Or to come alongside and to show a heart of compassion for. See, we don't only come to get. I had a little old lady in my first church out in Colorado. Her name was Regina Addy. She was no bigger than a little bundle of kindling twigs. A skeletal structure with tiniest bit of meat and just very thin, translucent skin stretched over it. But she was from the South, and she said, "Pastor, people got to learn they can't inhale all the time." That's true.
Amen.
God wants us to do a little exhaling too, doesn't he?
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Well, let's just exhale all over each other today. You know, let's just pour it out. If you see something that you like, say it. Don't make it a well-kept secret. Somebody in this room you haven't met yet, get them before they leave. Say hi. "I've been here, I've noticed you. I don't know your name, I'm embarrassed." Is there any such thing as having too many friends? I don't think so. It'll enrich your life if you have that kind of obedient spirit. So friends, it's about enabling. You are enabled to be an enabler of others. And the fact that you came here this morning is a vote in favor of faith.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
Okay. Number four. Wait a minute. That was number four. Number five. It is an expressive focus. Now, you would expect to hear this from a preacher. But let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We do a lot of abnormal things. And just about everybody in this room does things that are totally ridiculous. Like, for instance, I buy chocolates that I don't eat. Isn't that stupid, ridiculous? It's because of love. I give them to my sweetheart, my wife. She loves them so much, and I love her so much, that I buy chocolates I don't eat, and I get great pleasure from doing it. No, I'm not a big flower guy, but I don't mind going and buying some flowers every once in a while, flowers that I don't smell and I don't enjoy, but boy, my sweetheart sure does. We do a lot of abnormal things because of love. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, I would hope that every one of us would leave a little bit more abnormal according to the world standards.
Amen.
Let's be abnormal. Let's celebrate our abnormality, that we walk by a different drummer. We go according to the code of God. We go according to a standard that's far greater than our own. Man. It's all about expressing ourselves. Let's not keep it a secret that we love Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Let's not keep it a secret that we love our pastor. Give him a good hug around the neck every once in a while.
Amen.
Yeah. You say, oh, well, I'm worried he'll get a fat head. Hey, you let God, you let God worry about that. You do a loving on him that he can't hardly stand it. He's just so blessed. You know something? There's going to be some major results that take place in this church if you do that. You take it seriously now. In fact, I don't even want you to come and talk to me about anything good today. I want you to go and do a loving on that pastor of yours. Okay? Now take it seriously. I'm going to be watching. And if you haven't gone to him first to tell him that you love him and mean it, I don't even want to see you. Okay? We got to express ourselves of love for one another and to care about one another genuinely. Why would we expect people to come to this church if we're just like the other people out there? We've got to be a peculiar people, according to the King's English. Well, let's celebrate peculiarity then. Sign me up. I want to be peculiar. You say, Pastor, you're plenty peculiar, all right. All righty, guilty as charged. Let's express ourselves. Let's not keep it a well-kept secret, folks. Come on. The hourglass, the grains in the hourglass are getting fewer and fewer. We're not going to have that much time left, folks. What are we waiting for? If not us, then who? If not now, then when? I mean, come on. 1st of August, it's time to take it seriously.
That's right.
And to express ourselves and to be counted. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let's start today.
Amen.
Let's not put it in committee and beat it to death for the next 5 months. Come on, folks. Oh, I've done gone to meddling now, I can tell. Oh, boy, I love you. Oh, God's not boring. And really, I want to leave you on that note. God's not boring because the final word is it's an excelling focus. Man, when you introduce people to Jesus Christ, you're dragging them up to the top rung of the ladder. There's nothing better than walking the spirit-filled, spirit-controlled life. That is the summum bonum, the highest good that you can possibly know this side of heaven. Nothing better. Nothing compares. Nothing compares to that. Absolutely highest form of life possible on planet Earth is that of the spirit-filled Christian. Filled with the Holy Spirit and staying on the highest rung of the ladder. When you introduce somebody to Jesus Christ, you're dragging them out of some lower life form where they're just existing. They're just deluding themselves. They're just kidding themselves. They're not living. They're existing. But when you introduce them to the love of Jesus Christ and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit and you model it in your own life so they can see what it looks like, you're bringing them right up there into the clouds. The very best way that you can possibly live this side of heaven is those 9 qualities of the fruit of the Spirit abounding within you and then exploding all over everyone around you. That they get close to you, they get wet. They get drenched with it. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Why can't we just celebrate those 9 qualities and let them live in us and let us be known by people that those qualities are a part of our lifestyle, that we actively embrace, we actively hug them, we actively practice them, we welcome the accountability to be held to that standard. The psalmist says, let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's be transparent. Oh, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his wonderful passion and purity. Why can't that be the way it is, why the way it needs to be, the way it can be for you today. Burdens are lifted at Calvary.
Yes,
yes they are.
So dear friends, this morning we get down to where the rubber meets the road. Now it's the application time. The Great Commission tells us, Jesus said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, hey, guess what? I'm with you always, even to the end of the world.
Yes.
Now we've experienced the presence of Christ in this ordinance of the local church, the body and blood of the Lord. I believe that God has met with us this morning through this passage. We've been reminded of some very precious and special things. So my heart right now is pleading. And I'm standing here hoping that if you came to church this morning, you're a seeker and you're saying, oh, I'm skeptical about these things of Christian faith, and I'd like to know more about it, and I'd like to maybe ask Jesus to give me that life and to give me that joy and that hope and that deliverance. The good news is that you can have that today. You can leave here with that.
Amen.
All of that weight, all that guilt, all that dread, all that confusion, and all that disgusting stuff is removed as far as the east is from the west, and God remembers it no more. Won't you do that? I mean, after all, aren't you about tired? Just worn out by trying all this other stuff? You're never going to get anywhere with it. Never. You're just going to be dead end after dead end. Some of you are hard-headed and say, well, I've got 5 more dead ends in me before I give it up to God. Don't be dumb. Don't be stupid like that. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation.
Woo!
Yes.
I suspect that we're among many of you that are Christians. Why can't we just let this be a part of us? What we've talked about today is not rocket science.
That's right.
It's just obedience, plain and simple. Oh, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, as the pastor comes and leads us in this time now. Oh, Father, I pray that we'll apply these things. We've had a good time this morning.
Yes.
But Lord, it's not complete until we do something about it. We can't just leave here with a certain warmth, but still be holding back the Holy Spirit because we're hindering it by disobedience, by willingly not allowing this to happen. God, let us just get up and say, yes, count me in. I want this. Lord, help me, enable me, equip me, use me, fill me. Give me salvation so that I know I'm going to heaven. Give me the filling of the Holy Spirit so that I'm walking in full fellowship with the Lord.
Yes.
That's not too much to ask. And by the way, God is wanting you to pray that very prayer today. He says, oh, I want to hear that from every one of your hearts so bad I can hardly stand it.
Yes.
I love you so much.
Thank you.
I gave you my son. I gave you the best thing I had. All I want is for you to just accept it, receive it, take it in. Obey it. So, Father, I pray by your Holy Spirit that you'll do it in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.